You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Wednesday morning. Good morning to you. Mike McNamara for a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network. So, out of all the gin joints across the planet, some idiot in Washington, D.C., or somewhere, right, with the Department of Health and Human Services, or something, decides, let's send people infected with the coronavirus to the second largest metropolitan area in the country. Okay, now, so let me just, and I've done this when I talk about, like, stupid shit we've done, right, with the military, right? Don Rumsfeld says, hey, we're going to go in there. We're going to knock over an Iraq in a couple of weeks, okay? And then we're just going to bring some other people. And these three factions in the country, right, they're just going to sit there on their hands, and they're not going to get after each other, in spite of everything that the war plan says, right? And then everybody sits there and says, yeah, sounds great to me, sir, right? Hey, let's try to turn Afghanistan into something it's never been, and we could probably do that in, what, 3 or 4 or 5 years, maybe 10, right? We'll change it from a nation that has city-states that really doesn't have a national identity, even though it has a national border, but it's really not a nation. It doesn't have a strong federal government. We'll create a strong federal government, and we'll do this in about 4 or 5 years, and then we'll fucking leave. Hey, that's a great idea, General, fuck, let's do it. I mean, you know, stupid on top of stupid. So you're sitting there in this Department of Homeland Security, Department of Health and Human Services, you know, big powwow. And it's like, all right, so what do we do with these people that have shown symptoms or tested positive but not shown symptoms, all right? So we need to get them out off the military bases, right, because we're going to have more people coming there, so this is going to be kind of an assembly line, right? We'll bring them there, we'll screen them for X number of days, then we divide them up, people that show symptoms, people that don't show symptoms, right, need to be quarantined for another 2 weeks. Where do we send those people? How about the second largest urban area in the nation? What's your name? McNamara. Hey, fuck, that's brilliant, McNamara. Where are you from? I work in the Fresno office, sir. Yeah. Oh, hey, let's promote that stupid idiot. I mean, seriously, you're sitting there and you're looking at the map. Now, we have other military facilities around the country that are in remote locations. We could use them. They have barracks, right? Dust them off, right? Put nice sheets on them. Make sure that we cater it, right? That's part of what's got to be in the budget. Make sure there's enough doctors there to take care of them. But we don't need to in this world of unknowns with this virus thing. I mean, do we really need to bring them into urban areas? I mean, it's, and again, the place here in Costa Mesa where they want to bring them, it's not like a fenced-in, controlled area, right? It's none of that. And so, I mean, this is what, I mean, these are the kind of things that you just look and you think, you know, stuff like this happens all the time, and it doesn't get in the news. And people all over this country get screwed for it, right? By idiot bureaucrats, just like the whole world has paid for American stupidity in Afghanistan and American stupidity in Iraq. The whole Middle East has paid for what Donald Rumsfeld did and what George Bush did and what Colin Powell did and what George Tenet did and what Condoleezza Rice did, right? And then you see, let me read you from the Washington Post article. Headline, U.S. judge delays decision on moving coronavirus exposed Americans to Costa Mesa, California. A federal judge on Monday directed federal and state officials to answer the questions of Costa Mesa, California residents about their plans to bring Americans who have tested positive for the coronavirus but show no signs of the illness to a closed mental health facility in the city. District Judge Josephine Staten cautioned that the city and Orange County, if it joins the effort, which Orange County said it would do, does not have veto power over state and federal quarantine decisions and faces an uphill battle trying to block the transfer of people from Travis Air Force Base in Northern California. She said she would not make a decision on the city's lawsuit based on the people's fear, but was also critical of state and federal officials for not doing more to allay people's concerns. She urged them to answer the residents' questions about who would care for the people who tested positive or were potentially exposed to the virus, how many quarantined individuals might be moved to Costa Mesa, and what would happen if they developed symptoms and required hospitalization. Now, does that sound like something, right, that should have been in a package when you said, hey, City of Costa Mesa, County of Orange, right, we need to sit down with you because you are on a short list to take these people, and we want you to know what's going on. We want to read you into this, okay? Here it is, right? Here's what it looks like. I mean, the fact that they can't do that, I mean, what a bunch of fucking idiots. Seriously. And then there was you saw headlines across the country, federal state officials deeply critical of Costa Mesa, California and Anniston, Alabama for pushing back on this. I mean, idiots, surrounded by idiots. Oh, okay. Don't know what the fuck's going on with this virus, but whatever. Right. But again, even if you're stupid, okay, and you're sitting in that meeting, that planning conference, and you're looking at the map of the United States, right? And you're sitting in the back, and you're looking at the map, and you're like, geez, you know, it's a pretty big country. I know I've flown over it twice. And whenever I look down, all I see is rural areas. I have a question. What's your name? Ellis, sir. Okay, Ellis, what's your question? You know, I'm not a PhD or anything like that, but it seems to me that there's a lot of places that we could send people that if something goes wrong, it's not that kind of urban center. It's not that kind of a dense population. Because if something does go wrong and we're wrong about any part of this equation, and clearly we could be because... Right, there's still a lot of knowns. I just heard that doctor say that like 10 minutes ago. So we're going to inject those unknowns into the Orange County, Los Angeles area. Okay, who let this Ellis asshole in here? Right? No, sir. I think that's a legitimate question because I've flown over the country twice. I don't travel very much, right? I've flown over it twice, but when I look down, I see nothing but space, right? Don't you think it would be more appropriate to keep them on a military installation and disseminate them around the country? So one, we can control their movements. Two, we could provide for their safety. We could provide for their, you know, their comfort, and we can provide for them medically, which, you know, the military can do. Now, another hand goes up. You know, I didn't want to say anything, Mr. Chairman, but Alice does kind of have a point. I mean, putting this in a large urban area is probably how those horror movies get made about the disease spreading all over the world. Okay, we're going to adjourn this meeting right now. Right? When we come back, it's probably going to be a smaller group, just so everybody fucking knows. I've had enough of this shit. Like, wait. Answer the question, dumbass. I said this meeting's adjourned. I mean, come on. Listen. So the article goes on. Quote, when decisions are made in a hurry, mistakes are made. Summoning the parties back to her courtroom on March 2nd for a ruling, Costa Mesa and Anniston, Alabama, are the first communities that have sought to block plans to transfer Americans repatriated from Asia and now in federal quarantine to facilities in their midst. While Costa Mesa won a preliminary injunction Friday to temporarily block the transfer, this is people in Alabama are smarter, top-ranking Alabama officials, all Republicans, including Governor Kay Ivey, U.S. Representative Mike Rogers, and U.S. Senator Richard Shelby, took their case directly to President Trump and apparently won an assurance that the administration would not move forward with its plans. Yeah, they went straight to the flamethrower in chief, man. Hey, like, I'm not going to screw around with some stupid-ass judge, right? I'm going to go straight to the man, right? D. Trump, he'll get his blowtorch out, and he'll vaporize those idiots, right? And you could imagine, like, Trump with his, like, you know when he, like, puts his palms up, right, when he does the Polish salute, like, palms up, like, what? And he squinches his face, like, what? Yeah, you can imagine, like, we're going to do what? Why don't we just bring him here to New York City? Yeah, what the hell? As long as we're going to infect people, you know? Yeah, and imagine when this, if this, or when this gets into the homeless communities in this country. Yeah. You think it'll spread in a hurry there? Yeah. Anyway, the efforts by the two communities reflect growing anxiety about the risk of coronavirus outbreak for communities in the United States and suggests that federal officials may have difficulty housing quarantined people as the number of confirmed cases in the nation has grown to more than 50. Well, if you can't answer those questions, you think you're going to get pushback? I mean, seriously, the article reads like bizarro world shit. Like, how far do you have your head up your ass when you read the headlines that dominate the news every day and you don't tell a community, right, give them all the footnotes? I mean, you're like, my God. The count jumped after the State Department and top health officials overruled the Center for Disease Control and Prevention and brought back more than 300 passengers from the Diamond Princess cruise ship in Japan, including 14 who had tested positive for the virus. Passengers on that ship are at high risk of contracting the virus because of their exposure in a confined space to those who may have been infected. Now, think about this. Think about it. Of all the things they could have done with these people, they bring them back to the continental United States. We have islands that are our possessions. We have bases there, right? We have empty barracks there, right? And you bring them back here to the continental United States, which only increases the probability that that disease comes to this country, right, faster and bigger. Both in Costa Mesa and Anniston, officials in both Costa Mesa and Anniston have expressed compassion for people exposed to the virus, but argue that housing them in facilities in residential communities could pose risk for residents, right? I can't even say that without laughing. You fucking think? Mary Cahill, a retired teacher and resident of Santa Ana, which neighbors Costa Mesa, said that, quote, compassion does not equal negligence. Jennifer Keller, a lawyer for Costa Mesa, spoke to the fears of many in the audience at the court hearing when she said, quote, so little is known about the illness. Keller reminded the judge that tourism in Orange County, home of Disneyland, is massive and that a coronavirus outbreak could devastate the economy. Yeah, now we're going to talk money and we're going to talk Disneyland. Disneyland. So that means like Mike Iger, before he finishes stepping down, calls D. Trump, hey, Don, I know we're like not always on the same sheet of music, but, you know, you really don't want to see Orange County go away, do you? I mean, come on, there's Republicans here, right? Would you put an end to this stupid shit? Hey, we got Republicans in Orange County? Yeah, that's, we got a lot of people there. Okay, not a problem, right? Not a problem. Can we get them transferred to L.A. County? Because that's nothing but Democrat, right? I mean, come on. It's just stupid. Local officials also said they did not receive clear communication from the federal government that their facilities could be used to aid in the response. We felt blindsided, Andrea Marr, a member of the Costa Mesa City Council, said in an interview. People have an expectation that they at least get some answers, that they know what the plan is. Costa Mesa argued in its lawsuit that federal and state authorities did not coordinate with local officials before deciding they would transfer people who had tested positive for the virus to the Fairview Developmental Center, which they described as a dilapidated complex unable to handle infectious disease patients. What the fuck? City officials, I mean, come on. It's like fiction, right? This is like just another lame like episode in some like sci-fi thing. Except it's like actually happening. City officials also said they received conflicting information from state health officials about the medical status of the people in question, the amount of time they would need to be quarantined, and how various scenarios would be handled. In a response to the lawsuit, the state of California said it was, quote, frivolous, and that the state's quarantine laws enabled it to identify state properties that could house quarantined residents. Legal experts said it was unlikely Costa Mesa's lawsuit would succeed because cities typically cannot override the decisions of the state government. The question in the court is, can a city object to what a state government does? Said Polly Price, professor of law and global health at Emory University. Quote, federal courts are pretty clear you can't sue a state government in court. There isn't really a federal order to challenge here because the key fact was that California's state public health department, they're in complete control. In response to Costa Mesa's lawsuit, the federal government argued that it was based on, quote, speculation and unfounded internet fear, not science, facts, or accepted health practice. Time is of the essence in this response to the public health emergency presented by the coronavirus. This public health response requires action in hours and days, not days and weeks, the government wrote. You know, that's the bullshit answer that we don't want to answer your question. We may not even have the answers, but this is what we're doing. So here's the question. So when in doubt, you're going to plop them down in the home of Disneyland? You're going to plop them down in the second largest country. That makes you an idiot, okay? That makes you an idiot. And you and everybody who had a part in this decision ought to be fired, okay? They ought to be fired. Quote, the government goes on, any act that hinders the ability of the federal and state public health authorities to implement these effective, time-tested measures and endangers the public health and thus the safety and well-being of the American people. Yet Costa Mesa officials and residents argued that the Fairview Developmental Center was in the middle of residential neighborhoods, which it is. Colleen goes to school across a dirt field from the son of a bitch. Yeah, you walk out of where, or when I pick up Colleen, if you look, there's a golf course, like, kind of to the left. There's a dirt field, and then there's this place. It is smack dab in the middle of, like, a community. It's crazy shit. and that children often use its fields for soccer practices, game, and other events. Not anymore. Waverly Horton, a city resident whose 10-year-old son has a primary immunodeficiency, said she worries that Fairview is not a secure facility and that the virus could easily spread to vulnerable people like her son. Oh, I met this lady. She was going for a walk. Oh, really? Was she nice? Yeah, she was really nice. And she just came back from China. What? How long did you talk to her? Oh, I don't know. I chatted for a couple minutes with her. Is she staying at the... Well, yeah, she said she doesn't live here, but she'll be here for a couple weeks.
Yeah!
Quote, I'd love for them to show us a plan and how they're going to enforce it, Horton said. I don't want to be a NIMBY, not in my backyard, right? But I don't want to be someone who's super liberal and say, let's bring everybody in here, and then my own son dies because I'm foolish. No shit. I mean, so you read that, and it's, you know, honestly, it's just stunning. And whether it's Costa Mesa or Anniston, Alabama, if you can't look at the community and say, okay, look, here's what the science tells us. But they still ought to be in a contained place, right? Turn on the cable TV, right? You could go for walks, but you can't interact with other people yet. Sorry, right? Sorry, you can't do that. And this facility provides none of that. And it's in the middle of a residential area. It's just, I mean, you see, sometimes you see stunningly stupid. And this is like an insult to everybody who's stunningly stupid, because they are like infinitely smarter than this shit. And I mean, I was on a city council once. I would be so rip shit at this stuff. I mean, if somebody walked in and you know, all of a sudden the mayor calls an emergency meeting and you go walking in, you say, what's going on? Yeah, well, the federal government and state government have said that they're bringing these people into our community. And the first thing you would do is you get the city attorney and say, go to court and block it. Well, what's the plan? Well, they don't really have very much of a plan. Well, what's the threat to the population? I mean, this thing's spreading all over the world. Well, they haven't really told us. All they're telling us is, you know, they have to act in day hours and days, not weeks. All right, get to court right now. I mean, it's honestly, it's as stupid could be. And the fact that the state and federal authorities can't roll out a plan with science that says this makes sense. And they're going to send them to the home of Disneyland, Orange County. In the second largest metropolitan area in the nation. I mean, again, whoever has any part of this ought to be fired. Ought to be fired. And like I said, we have military installations. So they go from this one to a second feeder one. Make it, you know, in a warm part of the country where people can go for walks, because sitting around watching TV all day sucks. Okay? Right? And come in and cater meals, or at least we'll leave the chow vats there until we know, like, how does a company that's going to bring them food know that the stuff that they pick up isn't going to be contaminated? Who knows that stuff, right? I mean, it would be one thing if you know, city council members say, you know, we sat down with them on a video teleconference. And their operations people came and told us how people would be moved, the security for them, how this would be contained, how they would be limited, where they could go physically, right? And then the health people came on and told us the science behind this and that they need to be quarantined for another 2 weeks, but they believe they're going to receive more at every one of these installations, and so they've got to clear out these people that have shown no symptoms, right, and are not, you know, there's a 98% probability that they will not develop the virus, you know, and whatever the fucking science is. It's just, I mean, to me, you see this kind of stupid shit, and it's just, honestly, it's stunning. Now, it happens to be, you know, here in my backyard. And like that lady said, look, these people got to go someplace, and they ought to be taken care of. And the greatest nation on the planet ought to be able to do that well. But this is like up there with all the other stupid shit that we've seen government officials do in this country. Stunningly stupid, right? Which is an insult to everybody that's stupid. Okay, so Phil Medlevin, yeah, not gonna get a ruling till what, next week? March 2nd, when is it? March 2nd is February 29th. Leap year, remember that. So that's Saturday the 1st. So not till next Monday. And the fact that the judge would have to tell the federal government, you've got to answer these people's questions. I mean, that's like... And then the response from the federal government. We have to act immediately. Oh, so that's your excuse for doing stupid things? Yeah. Anyway. Okay, so good morning to you. Today's travel day for post-traumatic winning. And headed to Orlando, Florida, here in a little bit. Driving up to LAX and then nonstop flight. Love that. And then in Orlando at about 7 o'clock tonight. And then speak at about 1 o'clock tomorrow. Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny will join me tomorrow here on the program. We're going to talk a little bit about, being cautiously pessimistic. But, you know, I think Timmy's like all in on the Afghan peace plan. Yeah, he thinks the Taliban are sick of the war. He thinks, the United States is ready to get out and we're looking for a way. And so, yeah, that's what he thinks. So we're going to hear him wax eloquent on that. Film at 11. Film at 11. So, Tim Lynch, he went positive. I'm not so positive. But I do believe, you know, and it'll be interesting to hear him make this whole argument, but I do believe that he's right about that. The United States desperately wants out of Afghanistan. And will the United States and the president say, look, we've done enough. We've done enough. We will, you know, our strategic interest is making sure that Al-Qaeda doesn't take a foothold. We will carve out a base in Afghanistan. We will have a couple brigades there. We will have these drones there with these capabilities. We'll have, you know, helicopters. We'll have some fixed wing stuff. And so we will remain a presence in the region. But we will allow the Afghans, right? We will allow the Afghans to decide ultimately what happens in Afghanistan. And then the question is, will Afghanistan just recede, right, in terms of its bank, inside of its banks, right, and be what it used to be, which is, right, warlords control the cities. There is no major federal government that will shrivel up and go away with a lack of American funding. How is the American public going to respond? How will the liberals respond when the women of Afghanistan said they're taking away all of our rights? Right? How will the United States respond to that? We're going to go back to war over, you know, the fact that, you know, women in the Arab world don't have the same rights as men? I don't think so. But, you know, but you can imagine when that thing hits the streets. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, and then the chef will join me on Friday. So the United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning to you. this dedicated to the city officials in Costa Mesa and the governor and the state officials in Alabama for having the good sense to make the federal government footnote what they're about to do before they allow this kind of stuff in their communities and in their states. Right? Noticeably absent in all that is the governor of the state of California. That idiot. Okay? So, city officials in Costa Mesa and Orange County, right? And then state officials and city officials in Alabama. This is dedicated to you all. Your responsibility, right, is the health and well-being of the citizens of your state. That's what your job is. And if the federal and state government cannot answer the mail, then you have a moral obligation to stand and say, no, we will not allow this, right? Or we will pay for additional security. We will provide the assurance to our community that these people are not going to walk amongst us. And then we will send that bill to the federal government. Because we are not going to subject our citizens to the stupidity of the federal government and the state government. So, just dedicated to you all.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me. I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Just a note. The link to the article I was reading from comes out of the Washington Post, and it's included in this hour's post. So if you want to read that article, you can go ahead and just click on the post. You'll see the link and have right at it. Yeah. Washington Post covering that story. The idiots involved in that ought to be fired. Right? Ought to be fired. If that's the way that you go about your job, you're not a professional. because you know, right, as part of that, right, you look at your public affairs person and you say, okay, when we come out with this, we've got to allay the fears of the community and the nation of how we're dealing with this. Okay, you've got that. Okay, so from the medical people, I need a summary from you of what these people have and how we're going to deal with it. Security people, I need a little paragraph from you about how these people stay quarantined, okay, and that how the community is not at risk. PAO, you wrap that up and you get that ready, and we'll audition that in about 3 hours. Got it? I mean, that's the way professionals do it. I know because I've been a part of some of that shit in my life, right? And this is amateur hour. That's what this is. This is amateur bullshit. And then they say, and let me tell you how incompetent amateurs work. They then say, oh, this is the national interest, so you can't question us. Oh, you can't question. We have to act in minutes, not days. Sorry, right? That dog don't hunt. So because you're an idiot doesn't mean I have to stand for it. So let's check the news now. Let's check the weather in Marineland. Currently, it is cloudy and 51 in Quantico. Cloudy and 63 at Camp Lejeune. They've got 3 weather alerts there. So that means we got to check that out. Actually, there's 4 now. A dense fog advisory, a small craft advisory, another dense fog advisory, and a local pollen alert. That's nothing. All right, it's foggy in Camp Lejeune. 29 Palms got cold. I don't know. I'm doing this a couple hours early. All right, so it's sunny in 49 there. At Camp Pendleton, it is, I'm sorry, 29 Palms, it's sunny in 42. Pendleton, it's sunny in 49. Camp Smith in Hawaii, they've got 3 weather alerts. What do they got going on? 1 second. In Hawaii, there's a special weather statement, a high surf advisory, and a small craft advisory. The special weather statement is in effect until 6:15 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time. All right, from Hawaii we go to Okinawa. Dark, cloudy, and 68, so Okinawa warming up. Afghanistan, cloudy and 72 late in the afternoon, early in the evening there, so they've warmed up. And in Iraq, in Ramadi, it is sunny and 60 as the sun sets in Al Anbar province. In the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area. Yeah, boom. It is 52 degrees with the sun coming up. Feels like 52. Looking for a high of 82 today, 81 tomorrow, and 81 on Friday. Kaboosh. That's right. So let me check shithole weather on a Tuesday from Chris Cox. Shithole weather is getting work done early today. Weather has curtailed skiing operations at this time. Never fear, Dave. The lift ticket purchased for Sunday. Current conditions. Solid cloud cover. Rain is coming. 40 degrees with a high of 56. Light winds. Chris from Webster out. And there's a picture of a pallet, a picture of a trash bag, and a picture of paint. So I guess he's got a project going, man. I guess he's brought it from First Sergeant in Hickory, North Carolina. 46 and partly cloudy with patchy fog. Chance of rain this morning. Southwest winds 5 to 10, high in the mid 60s with an overnight low of 43. Oh, then there's a picture of 3 jars with sand in them. Right? Left to right. Sand from Bella Wood. I think dirt from Bellywood, Sugarloaf Hill in Okinawa, and Iwo Jima on the far right. That's sacred ground, man. He's got way too much dirt. You could spare a little bit of that, bro. Send me a little dirt from Sugarloaf Hill and Bellywood. Take that as a task for a start. From Beverly in Saskatchewan. Church Bridge is currently overcast with southwest winds of 3. The air temperature is 12 degrees above zero. Mostly cloudy this afternoon. Looking for a high of 19 above. So warming up in Saskatchewan. Good for them. They could use it. The Cox then sent another email. I'm on the move. Craigslist sale, dog grooming, and the dentist all before 9 o'clock. Eat it, Dave. So there you have it. That is a look at your weather. All right, I'm going to do the top five stories in Early Bird right now, and then you're going to hear a series of interviews about Iwo Jima. And last year you heard like firsthand stuff, and you heard interviews from guys that were there. The interviews you're going to hear next are about the Marine Corps coming to grips with the fact that the wrong people were identified in the Iwo Jima flag raising. And so that starts in 2016 with the stunning revelation that the Marine Corps is going to convene what became known as the Hewley Board and look at new information that had been brought to the Marine Corps by amateur historians, right? Amateur military historians that had gone over and over pictures, and the evidence is compelling. And again, the first time I saw it, you look at it for 5 seconds and you're like, holy shit. It doesn't take a lot of scrutiny, right? This is John Bradley in his uniform that day, right? Pants cuffed, leggings on. He's got no wire cutters and he's got this jacket on and he's wearing his unit ones up there, right? Bandolier style. And then you look at the picture and you're like, that isn't Bradley. Like, yeah, that's how long it takes, literally. All right, top five. So you're going to hear a series of that. You're going to hear Stephen Foley, who was one of the Irish, who's the Irish amateur historian that was part of this. You're going to hear from Mary Reinwald, who was a member of the Hewley Board. You're going to hear from who else? You're going to hear from General Zinni talking about Iwo Jima. You're going to hear from Charlie Niemeyer, who's the director of the Marine Corps Historical Division. So all of these guys, all these people talking about, you know, the events, you know, that took place as the Marine Corps tried to reconcile. And I find it fascinating. I find it hot. So, you know, you got Harold Schultz, PFC type, who came home and never said a word. Yeah, I was in that flag, right? Yeah, they've identified the wrong people in that. He went back. He worked in the post office in L.A., made one reference to it. The other guy, the corporal, Pi Keller, who's in the flag raising, never said a word, right? Talk about a different generation. They're like, yeah, I don't want any part of that, right? I'll take that one to my grave. And he did. He didn't tell his kids. So, yeah, there's a pretty cool interview that NBC did with, you know, Keller's nickname is Pi for whatever reason, with Pi Keller's daughter. And she said, you know, I knew my dad was on the island. I knew he was wounded there. But he didn't really talk about it that much. And to think that that's him, and he never said a word about it. She said, that was my dad. He was just a humble, normal guy. Came back. I think he went to work for the telephone company as a lineman. And raised his family and lived and died and never said a word. So, I mean, that's as interesting. And then Bradley, you know, he goes up to Wisconsin, you know, and opens up a mortuary and spends the rest of his life as a funeral director. And Bradley has to live with the burden that he wasn't in the picture. And then Gagnon, you know, the same way. So anyway, it's just I just find it a fascinating human drama, you know. And the guy who's suspect in the whole thing, in my opinion, is Gagnon. Because Gagnon says, I was in that picture when he wasn't. And then he names other people in the picture. And so, to me, the only person, you know, again, they all served and whatnot. But the only person, to me, that comes off not so good is Rene Gagnon, who claimed he was in the picture. Everybody else didn't want to be in it, right? Nobody campaigned to be in that thing except him, right? Except him. So, anyway, so you'll hear that. And then all the interviews, if you're listening to this, you know, this... Somebody emailed me last week, like, Mac, there's only the link to the one interview. The link to all the subsequent interviews is inside the post for hour two today. So if you go into that, you'll see link to this, link to this, link to this, link to this. So they won't go up as separate posts for today. All right, everybody got that? That's what's known as a programming note. Yeah. All right. So top five stories in Early Bird today. Number one, American soldier stationed in South Korea is the first service member to test positive for coronavirus. So, again, that's in, well, they don't identify where in South Korea. Number two, schools closed, events canceled at overseas U.S. military bases as the coronavirus spreads. Children of U.S. military personnel living in South Korea, Japan, Italy, and Bahrain and elsewhere are beginning to experience the disruption of routine caused by the burgeoning worldwide coronavirus outbreak. Number three, Taliban attack significantly down as reduction in violence deal appears to hold. So you'll hear more about that tomorrow. Number four, first female infantry officer leaves the Marine Corps as the commandant calls for more women in infantry officer roles. Let me tell you, man, she's a unicorn, right? She's a unicorn. And he, right, everything I heard about this female infantry officer, right, says that she was really good at what she did. And she earned the respect of her peers because she didn't go on every TV show. You know, she said, I've got a job to do and I'm serious about it. Now, you know, but I mean, that's grueling work, right? You got to be able to do it. You got to be able to lead men physically up mountains and shit like that. Not everybody can do that, right? Captain Marina Hirel, H-I-E-R-L, was the first female Marine officer to receive an 0302 infantry officer military occupational specialty when she graduated from the infantry officer course in September of 2017. She started her career as a platoon commander in 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines, and eventually ended up as the assistant operations officer for 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, before going on terminal leave in mid-February. So that's one, right? It ain't easy. It ain't easy. And they've modified the standards. Okay. So, you know, again, much respect to her, right? Much respect to her. That is not, she truly is a unicorn. And so, commandant called for more women in those jobs. Man, I'll tell you what, the women that do that, I mean, they risk their physical well-being. Because their bodies simply aren't made for it. So the women that can do it, right, are unicorns. But know this, are there going to be long-term physical consequences for you to put that kind of weight on your back when your skeleton isn't made for that? So anyway, and I'm not, again, that's just the truth. Number five, Navy's investigation into Vice Admiral Scott Sterney's suicide. Now, this has been pretty well covered up, right? Somebody brought this up to me last week. Right? A series of suicide notes left behind by Sterney revealed he grappled with significant time away from his family and struggles with military life, according to a redacted NCIS report obtained by Navy Times. Released in response to a Freedom of Information Act request, the probe also reflects the shock Sterney's family, friends, and colleagues felt after the career aviator hung himself. Investigators found no evidence of personal misconduct or scandal linked to the admiral. One officer told NCIS he didn't think Sterney was involved in any bad behavior because he was addicted to his job. The investigation instead focused on the long and brutal hours Sterney put in, as well as the stoic face the man with the call sign Sterno wore, a counterbalance that belied turmoil that he felt inside. The contents of a third note are redacted in the publicly released investigation, as are the names of most of the people interviewed. While colleagues and subordinates expressed shock at his death, a civilian who was close to Sterney described his Thanksgiving visit to see his family in Chicago and how the admiral ate like a bird and slept a lot and seemed out of it, according to the report. When he dropped off the three-star at O'Hare International Airport, Sterney gave him a long hug. On the morning of his death, after spending some time in his home office, Sterney walked with his wife to get a coffee, a weekend tradition of theirs. Sterney's wife left to run errands and initially thought her husband was napping when she returned home, according to the report. She told the agents, "He was the strongest man I know, but he worked very hard and was tired from it." Quote, "There have been a lot of I love yous lately, and things have been particularly good since their Thanksgiving visit with their family," an agent wrote. The couple was looking forward to the upcoming Christmas visit with relatives. After finding her husband, Sterney's wife called Rear Admiral Paul Chalice, the deputy commander. Chalice described her demeanor as being in complete disbelief. She repeated comments over and over about not understanding how such a strong man could do this. Wow. Yeah, that is, you know, he was at the time, right? He was the, he was in charge of the Fifth Fleet in Bahrain. So pretty stunning. Pretty stunning. You want to talk about the need for post-traumatic winning, the need to be able to talk about it, the need to stop faking it, right? There's your poster child right there, right? Everybody deals with it. All right, with that said, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear a whole really cool series of interviews about Iwo Jima. So don't touch that dial. More Ball Marine Radio coming up right here on a Wednesday on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.